Okay, Andrea, this may be the most fun question I've asked you over 12 episodes. The 90s had a lot of delightfully random celebrities, people who were famous for being famous. And I think you know why I'm asking you this, but who were some of your favorite, just like could only take place in the 90s celebrities?
I know exactly why you're asking this. And it starts with F and ends with O, but I'll answer just to keep our consistency up. Somebody that comes to mind is Pauly Shore.
Oh, yeah.
Milk does the body good, huh? Checker.
There's people that I think of like Richard Simmons.
Oh, yeah, right? Of course.
It's sweating time!
Like wacky pop culture icons. But there are two more. Do you remember Rhonda Shears?
Hi, it's Rhonda on USA Up All Night.
Oh my God.
And then Anna Nicole Smith.
She is still extremely fascinating.
So obviously, we know that the number one rando celebrity of the 90s in the most incredible way is, of course, Fabio.
Say it again, Jason. Fabio.
Fabio?
Wow. You are almost as beautiful as me.
So it gives me great pleasure to say that today on People in the 90s, we have Fabio, who was on the cover of People on October 4th, 1993. That week, Demolition Man was number one at the box office, starring Wesley Snipes and Sylvester Stallone.
Kind of appropriate, like the biceps club there.
Yeah, the boys with the biceps. And I Do Anything for Love, parens, but I won't do that. Was climbing the charts by Meatloaf.
Meatloaf, also rando celebrity of the 90s. He was at number 10, but just I have to give a shout out because do you know what was number 3?
What?
Whoomp There It Is.
Hitman.
Two more things. We have to give a shout out to number 5 that week is If by Janet Jackson, and number 6, Can't Help Falling in Love, paren, from Sliver by UB40.
Sliver.
Oh my God.
I just want to circle back real quick. Did we ever find out what the that and I Would Do Anything for Love, Prince, but I Won't Do That was?
I just kind of thought Meatloaf was telling the world like he's not that kind of boy.
Okay, well, we can talk offline. All right, so we got Fabio.
Anyway, I'm Jason Sheeler, Deputy West Coast Editor at People Magazine.
And I'm Andrea Laventhal, Style and Beauty Director at People Magazine.
And this is People in the 90s, where each week we dive deep into an issue of People Magazine from the best era ever. Well, Andrea, it gives me great pleasure to say hello, Andrea.
Hi, Jason.
I mean,
that's Fabio Glee in my voice.
Here we are.
Jason, here we are indeed. And I just feel like I know that the listeners have come on this journey with us, but I think it's necessary for you to just give a little recap of who Fabio was in the 90s and why he was such an important figure of that time and really still today.
I mean, he's important to us today for sure. I think that honestly and like objectively, we've talked a lot on this show about what the 90s meant. You know, why can't we get past the 90s? Fabio really does represent that delightful optimism. I mean, to be fair, like a little bit of that shallow, just, you know, don't scratch the surface optimism of the 90s, right? Like there's like the sexy 90s and there was like the delightfully shallow 90s. And Fabio was in all of that. And then the flip side of all that is I think that we had a very rich fantasy life in the 90s.
Oh.
From the man who brought fantasy to life.
Fabio.
Beauty has a face.
Fantasy was important. Fantasy was far more marketable and profitable because there weren't as many avenues of pop culture. And so Fabio was a model, right? He was a model for Versace and he did The Gap and all that stuff. But then he started modeling for romance novel covers and he did a whole lot of them. And he would pose as a pirate. He would pose as a pilot. One time he was a winged angel and he was a cowboy and he was a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And so he became this weird icon.
Fabio was famous for being Fabio.
Andrea, it is, you know, in terms of 90s pop culture icons, some say relics, but some say icons who were just did only and could only exist in the 90s. I mean, he did kind of fall to earth like Botticelli style, right? Like beefcake on a clamshell. We saw him much more than we heard him, right? He was one of those like supermodel sphinxes, you know, that we put a lot upon. And so we could, you know, I don't know, fantasize about them more. But like only in the 90s can an Italian-born model turn romance cover star, also then come out with a really like dizzying Kardashian scale of stuff with his name on it. Like, right, Andrea, he had
merch. Yeah.
Like merch. He had 900 numbers, $2.99 a minute, talk to Fabio. He had a spoken word CD, hair care products, fitness videos, posters, a clothing line at Sam's Club. So he really like defined the 90s, like as this hood ornament of masculinity, but in some ways never left it because he is immortalized into movies, right? Like Dude, Where's My Car, Spy Hard, Death Becomes Her, Zoolander.
You consider me the best actor / model and not the other way around.
Usually he plays Fabio. And then also then he kind of went away. We haven't seen or heard a lot from him. And so he gets just to be Fabio frozen in time.
Because it is Valentine's Day, the category tonight, top 10 Fabio pickup lines.
And by the way, it's worth noting that there hasn't been a Fabio scandal.
And now here to assist in the presentation of tonight's list, Fabio.
Like, there's been no inevitable downfall. There's no E! True Hollywood story about how Fabio ends up in jail or broke or destitute, or he's just still Fabio.
Number 10.
Can I buy you a drink after I finish my 2,000 sit-ups?
He's still Fabio.
Number 8.
Wanna help me choose a last name?
That should be the title of his autobiography. I'm still Fabio.
Number 2.
I find you very attractive, even though your chest is much smaller than mine.
It's not like a likely career path that you could go from being on romance novel covers to being a spokesperson for I Can't Believe It's Not Butter for 24 years running.
I can't believe it's not butter.
The taste you love without the cholesterol.
What a work of art.
And we're going to get to how much money he made, which is a lot. Then you alerted me that there was a CD, Fabio After Dark.
Buongiorno. I'm Fabio.
I mean, still so genius.
And I'm very interested in what makes romance work.
And you're right. Like, he didn't have any major scandals. He kind of just kept living his Fabio life quietly and happily. And we are going to ask him all about that because we got him. If you guys haven't heard, we got him. We started this segment as just a dream. Jason was just a boy with a dream of meeting Fabio.
Just a boy standing in front of a sex god, asking him to love him.
And by sex god, of course, you're talking about Eric Esquire of Marina Del Rey. Because really, it took correspondence with a fan club president, Donna May, then 43 emails and counting with Eric Esquire, Marina Del Rey, who then led us to plead on social media for anybody to help us. Help came. We went back to Eric. Eric said, as long as you guys talk about hyperbaric chambers, you can have him. And that led us to interviewing Fabio IRL, sitting together, staring into each other's eyes. I can't wait to share with you listeners the best parts of this hour and 45 minute interview, because it's truly some of our most brilliant and bonkers work to date. And I heard that we were also putting Fabio in the magazine. Jason, is this a rumor or did you actually pitch and get a story approved about Fabio in the magazine?
I got him like a feature, like in the magazine, like it's going to be like at supermarkets, like it's on actual paper. Yeah, all of this has actually ended up with an actual in-book feature. And yes, editor-in-chief Dan Wakeford does know about this. It will not be an unpleasant surprise. Somehow there was a breeze flowing through that windowless studio somehow, because I think a breeze always follows Fabio. And here he is. He's now 62. He looks remarkably the same. He does say he's down to, I think, 215 from 225. But he still wears the same unbuttoned jewel-toned silk shirts and eelskin boots. He still works out like a maniac, because I see him at Equinox in West Hollywood. He still avoids alcohol, drugs, and sweets. And he's still Andrea. He still speaks in the same, what we like to call Fabioisms.
Oh, they were amazing.
They are amazing. And I'm just going to leave you with one because we're going to get into it later. But he says, if you don't bind to fear,
you will see miracles.
So beautiful. Like, important words, really important words. Who knew? So without further ado, although Jason and I could ado all day, here is the one, the only
Fabio. Fabio. Okay, Andrea, okay, hold up. We're just going to do things a little differently this week because we've now interviewed Fabio. And frankly, my head is spinning. Is your head spinning?
I feel probably how I imagine Simone Biles feels after executing a perfect 10 vault. I blacked out, Jason. I don't know what I said.
It was just it was a wild interview. Let's just say it.
So many twists and turns.
There's so many twists and turns. Fabio says a lot. He did not hold back on us. I mean, I have to say, you know, he and Eric delivered, right? We delivered. We asked about hyperbaric chambers. He did, in fact, have on an unbuttoned jewel-toned silk shirt and eel skin boots. But I think, Andrew, let's just recap, because I don't think we could just press play on this interview. And so, Andrew, you go first. Where should we start with this interview?
I'm just laughing because we said, without further ado, and then I said we could ado all day, and here we are adoing. But trust me, guys, this is the way you want your Fabio interview delivered, is with color commentary from us as a recap, because, again, bonkers. So what I found most interesting, just like right off the bat, other than all the things you mentioned with the jewel-toned silk shirt, and just like this smell that I can only describe as ode to Fabio, if we're going to recap, I think we need to be a little meta for a minute and just talk about how nervous and excited we were to meet him before he even walked in, because now I'm looking at the transcript and 17 seconds into us recording, Jason is talking to me and he says, should I do glasses on or off?
Should I do glasses on or off?
I think when you're going to ask questions, glasses on.
And then our producer, Chris, is like, when he comes in, you guys are going to stand up.
You guys are going to stand up.
And I'm like, okay, we're going to stand up to greet him. And Jason's like, are you going to move or are you going to stay here in this spot?
Stand up and kind of be in this area for the handshake on camera.
Stay in the shop.
Stay in this area.
Yeah. Got it.
And we go back and forth, Jason.
What do I do if he tries to double air kiss?
Okay. And then I'm like, what shirt is he wearing? What color?
Feeling good about him? What's he wearing?
And Chris tells us, wait till you see what he's wearing. You're going to die. And Jason's all, why all the suspense? I just touched my mic. I just hit my mic by accident. Wait, do I sound okay? Do I sound okay?
I just touched my mic. I just hit my mic by accident. Do I sound okay?
No, I hit it by accident. Just making sure. And I say, I'm good.
No, it was as if like Meghan Markle and Angelina Jolie were coming into the studio.
With Oprah.
This is so funny.
How did this happen?
Where are we?
Then just when Jason and I were questioning if maybe our morning coffees had ayahuasca in them and this was all a dream, Fabio like walks in and he's there in the flesh.
Jason, hey.
I mean.
And then we snap into professional journalism mode.
Very nice meeting you.
So nice to meet you. I'm Jason.
Hi, I'm Andrea.
Andrea, very nice meeting you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, please, come on. It's people.
Well.
Talks about the population of salmon in Washington State, where he splits his time between Washington and LA.
So beautiful, so green, you know. It's like I love fishing, you know, the biggest population of salmon in the world, and just paradise.
And you know, right off the bat, Jason, we are talking to him about his complicated relationship with his father, who was a very successful businessman in Italy.
I had a great father, an unbelievable person, business, you know, and I learned a lot from him. He was one of the first men to build assembly line. Conveyor belts and so on.
In Italy?
Yes, actually all over the world.
Really?
Yes.
And he wanted you to follow in his footsteps.
And he was less than thrilled when Fabio moved to New York City to become a model, or as he said, his dad put it, a mannequin.
My father was really mad. He said, well, you want to be a mannequin? So, you know, because for him, it was like, you know, it's like, it's please, you know, it's like, you know, you can do so much more. You have a brain, you can do so much more. You know, it's like, and then what are going to leave all this to who? Yourself? I mean,
did you not think it was crazy when he casually shared that he ran away from his dad when he was 13, when they were like in Texas for some reason, and his dad had to go to the police?
And I remember I ran away from him in Houston. My father had to go to the police. I mean, I was a
wild
kid.
Wild child.
I started running away from my family since I was 11 years old. So my
Fabio
father,
on the loose in H-Town.
I'm telling you, it's like I was 13 enough, not even 14. So I was like, okay, I'm not going back to Italy. You know, it's like I'm here. I'm going to stay here.
He was a missing child in Houston.
Was he furious?
He was like beyond furious. I mean, he was absolutely so mad at me. And I remember the only thing I said, Dad, I can't wait to turn 18.
I'm going right back. Yeah.
And he goes like, whatever. It's like, and for the entire trip, he never said a word.
Do you realize, Jason, that that's most likely when he lost his virginity.
That's the virginity. Uncomfortable part.
At 15. 13. 15.
13. In Houston?
Well, in here we said 15.
No, I was already a pearl when I went to Houston.
You say your first time was at 15. You say she was 18 and I was ready. She was far from a beauty, but I thought she had a great personality. So A, you're fact-checking yourself and we're going to correct. It was not 15.
Yeah, it was 13.
Okay.
So Andrew, obviously we went through the People magazine cover story with Fabio to get his perspective on, you know, this story that was written about him back in 1993. And, you know, when he walked into the studio, we had had the People magazine cover blown out to poster size. So there he was, you know, arms crossed, you know, a sliver of a tank top, bulging muscles. He loved seeing himself in 1993. But read the cover lines for our listener. How did we describe Fabio and this cover story back then?
The Prince of Passion steps off the covers of romance novels to talk about sex, pasta, and the special woman he still needs. Also, Jason, it's worth mentioning that I haven't seen that blow-up cover since the interview, so...
It is possibly hanging on the wall in my office.
I had a feeling.
In the People magazine, LA, but anyway.
Anyway.
So shout out to my neighbor and boss, Liz Leonard, who will have to look at it as she walks into her office every day. So I want Fabio to now tell us what it meant to him to be on the cover of People magazine.
It was unreal, but I love the fact, you know, that my parents saw it. And that was really my first time that my father was so proud of me. And it was like, wow, you know, Fabio, you were right. I was wrong. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Could you put that on a pillow?
Can you repeat it? It's like,
never heard
my father ever said that it was wrong. Mm. And I never saw my father crying except when I left to come to America for good.
What did that feel like when your dad said, I'm proud of you?
That to me meant more than anything, more than become famous, more than money, more than anything.
I tried to use that cover story from 1993 as like my first entry point into Fabio's somewhat mysterious love life, Jason, because I found it really kind of like a mystery that Fabio has never been publicly linked to anyone in the press, like ever. And I really wanted to get to the bottom of why that was. So I asked him about how he cheated on a woman he loved and how much of a mistake it was. And then we try and get him to say who she was.
Yeah, it's when you really love a person, it's forever.
Mm. Do you think she knows?
Oh, she knows. She knows.
But, you know, it's like,
I broke her heart, you know, really bad. And, you know, I don't think she wanted to see me ever.
Have you ever seen her again?
No.
And she was a model also.
Yeah, she was a big model too. Yeah. And she was amazing. You know, it's like she wanted everything. All she wanted to do is marry me and have kids, you know. Mm. But, you know, I was a really wild one.
Yeah. So you've never connected since?
No, I connected with the parents. You know, the parents are on and on. We still talk. You know,
is she single? Could we find her for you?
Oh no, she got married. She got three kids, and you know,
we were hoping to fix you guys back up. We were hoping for like a high school sweetheart reunion.
No, you can. You know, she already got her family and everything. But you know, it's like it was great because my parents loved her. Her parents loved me. The father was one of the top generals in this country. Oh. And he was a big general. And he ended up, when he moved to Arizona, he was in charge of all the National Guard in Arizona. And great guy, great.
I'm like running through my
I know, we just got excited.
Have you ever publicly revealed who it is, her name?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay.
So above all, we are journalists. So Jason and I launched our own Google investigation into finding out who this woman is. But ultimately, Fabio's our best friend now, and we didn't want to betray his trust. So we have called off the search for now.
Andrew, maybe this is our sequel. You
know, maybe like, it is.
You know, she went on with her life and got three beautiful daughters, and you know, and I wish her all the best. And you know, it wasn't my fault, and I take full responsibility. And you know, in life, you make mistake. The most important thing, you understand. A lot of people don't, you know, it's the other person's fault. So now I'll take two to tango. But this time it was my fault. It was 100% my fault.
This is that gentleman thing that Donna Mae was talking about. The president of your fan club talks about what a gentleman you are.
It's I'm telling you, it's like, you know, I take full responsibility because all she wanted is to have a future with me. But I was too wild back then.
And then, Andrea, You kind of weren't done though.
Still dating. Did you ever date any other celebrities? You can just tell us.
No, because no? I, you know what? I always date and go for girls who they are, not for what they have. Hmm. I have a lot.
I'm often in awe of your journalistic integrity and your doggedness in getting to the truth. We often play good cop, bad cop in this show, and I'm usually the good cop, so you know who you are.
Yeah, I'm usually the corrupt one who's getting paid by the mafia.
You so wouldn't boring. Let it go.
Mm-hmm. It's so boring.
So the playmates weren't for you?
Boring. No.
So who is?
Just regular girls.
But where are they?
It doesn't matter.
Do you still date a lot?
Can be any person. Any person can be in any business, any person, but down to earth with a great sense of humor.
So can we fix you up? Do you want us to fix you up with someone? Are you single?
It doesn't seem like you have trouble meeting women, but it does seem like you have trouble meeting the right woman.
You know what? You know, there is a lot of quantity, you know, but quality is what's important in life.
So like, you have had this whole lifetime of traveling, meeting people, being set up, I imagine. You still haven't found her?
No.
Are you still looking?
Of course.
You still want to get married?
Yes.
Okay.
And have kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, Andrea, we still weren't done because at some point, did I ask Fabio out?
That's confirmed, Jason. You did.
You know, I love a woman with a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. You know, a woman she can go and be in the middle of the nature and not be afraid about bugs. I mean, like,
well, there goes me and you.
You know, honey, you're like,
I've got the humor, Fabio. I hate bugs.
You hate bugs?
I don't mind bugs. We can go out.
I don't mind bugs, but that wasn't enough for Mr. Fabio. It is interesting, though, that in the 1993 article, we do address possible gay rumors with his then manager, a guy named Peter. So I did just ask him.
Article, we even said in our story that people thought you and what was your manager were together. People thought you guys were so close, you and Peter.
No. Oh, my God. Yeah. No. We were friends, you know, but I love women.
I know. People are obsessed with you not settling down, right? People are making assumptions.
I know because, you know, it's like Hollywood have a history of, you know, a lot of people, they live a lie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I live my real life. Okay. I'm not living a lie and I will not live in a lie for anybody. You know, back then in Hollywood, you know, it's like if you were a leading man, you had to be straight. You couldn't be gay. And a lot of men, they were gay. So they lived the lie out there. They were like always playing the macho. They were always playing the leading man. But you know, to me, it was just a sexual preference. And to tell you the truth, it's great, the world right now, that you can be whatever you want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's supposed to be.
Jason? How are you going to tell Sherry Shepherd that you tried to set her up with Fabio during the interview? Because after we realized that I can't date him because I don't like bugs, and you can't date him because he assures us he's straight, you're like, well, what about Sherry Shepherd?
I did. Like, I mean, I recall one of my favorite people in the world, Sherry Shepherd. You asked her this or that, Enrico Suave or Fabio.
Fabio or Rico Suave?
Rico Suave.
Sherry.
Jason loves Fabio.
That's our first fight.
But I love Fabio because I read all of the romances. I probably got every book that Fabio was on before I knew it was Fabio.
Before you knew it was Fabio.
Before I knew it, and I pictured Fabio running. So maybe I should change it because I would always picture Fabio running down the beach with his linen pants rolled up to his knees in slow motion with the blonde hair flowing behind his back as he picked up all 167 pounds of me and carried me dead weight across the beach. So I probably should say, because I have more fantasies about Fabio. And he started doing butter commercials. That kind of...
But who doesn't like butter? Or I can't believe it's not butter.
But yeah, so we're just like, hey, like, what about Sherry Shepherd? So Sherry, if you're listening, Fabio saw your hot pics and like, he's into it.
And then I guess I pulled up a photo of her, didn't I?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That was in her People photo shoot.
Very sexy woman.
Yeah. Well, we'll tell her you said so.
You like funny, right?
Oh, yeah.
You like funny. She is...
So here is Fabio's origin story as to how he ended up the king of romance novel covers. So he's a model. He's like doing stuff for brands like Versace and Andrew Marc. Remember those leather jackets, The Gap? And at some point, book publishers like took a look at him and his physique and the hair and everything. And they're like, maybe he should pose for the cover of books. And Fabio says he had no idea how popular the books had become. In fact, he'd never even seen a single one of them until about a year and a half into doing all this. It's 1987. He's at a club in Miami. And here's what he says happens.
Three girls come up to me and they go like, oh, my God, you look exactly like the guy on our books. And I'm like, honey, that's a great pickup line. It's like, oh, I like you. I never heard that before, really? Right?
Original.
And they go like, no, trust me, it's not pickup line. You look exactly like the guy on our books. You know, I was skeptical, you know, because I had no idea, because I was thinking just pictures, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't know what they were doing.
And had you seen the books by that point?
So at that point, you know, one of the girl, it goes like, how long are you going to be here? I said, well, I just got here. Well, she goes, I leave about 20 minutes from the club.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to go home, pick up all my books, and I'm going to come back and I show you. I'm not lying to you. So I guess they left. They went in the house, pick up all those books.
And brought the books to the club?
Yes.
If they were really smart, they would have said to you,
oh, no, I know. Come home. Well, trust me.
And see our bookshelf.
Meanwhile, the bouncer's like, why are you bringing all those books into the club?
I know. So, you know, when they came back and said, look. And I go like, oh, my God, that's me. You know, it was like, I had no idea. So the first time when I saw those books and all those paintings, I go like, yeah, I remember I took this one and that one and that one, you know. And I go like, yeah, that's me. That's weird, you know.
And he quickly learned that there was a lot of fans. And so this is Fabio's experience in the 90s going to conventions called Romantic Times, where his fans would get to meet him and take a photograph with them. And he told us that fans got, well, they got excited, right?
Your arrival had to have been crazy at those things.
Yeah, it was crazy because, you know, I went one of those and I was like, that's it. I'm done.
Were they like ripping at your hair and your shirt?
No. They were like, you know, they wanted to take a picture with me, and there was always the one pinching my butt and touching on property. But, you know, it's like, listen, I'm from Europe. I'm a man. I can handle it. It's not big deals. A woman trying to touch, come on. Like, you know, a lot of people, they go like, oh, my God, I got sexual assault. Come on. I understand a man with a woman, but a woman with a man, a man.
Yeah, I mean, it can certainly go both ways. But you're there in the middle of a convention about romance novels, and you are the star of so many romance novels. So it was like you were the biggest star in that convention center for sure.
Yeah, but and then
were they there to get autographs?
Autograph and picture. The majority, you know, they really wanted to take a picture. And
were the husbands taking the picture for
yes,
them?
Yes, yes.
They were. Well,
yeah, they want to be that woman on the cover. So they were doing the setup, you know, in the back, like you know,
like a pirate,
right? Pirate or Viking or any, you know, and so you know, it's like the women, you know, they wanted to be in the picture with me, and they thought they would be the heroine, you know, and whatever rocked their boat.
What are some of the craziest things a woman has done to meet you? How many pairs of underwear have been mailed to you, Fabio?
Actually, you know, every time I was doing appearances, you know, it's like there's a lot of girls, a lot of young girls used to come and with the, you know, pair of underwear, and they go like, can you sign it for me? And, you know, all the time.
But the craziest thing?
Well, you know, they want me to sign breast and asses and, you know, and you know, they were like pulling down their pants and, you know, that was... Mm-hmm. Wasn't just that.
Just another day.
Another day. Another day at the office. Yeah, so to say that, you know, yeah, it's like. Exactly.
Okay, so one of the most interesting, beautiful parts of our interview with Fabio is when we asked him what he thinks he meant to his fans, right? Like, what did he think he was delivering for them at these romantic novel conventions and, you know, on the street and stuff? What did he think people were getting from him? And I really loved his answer.
You have to understand the industry. You know, it's like it's all the same. It's like movie. And movies sell what? Fantasy, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The same. Books even more. Because when you read a book, you really have your own fantasy and not the fantasy of some director or producer. So it gets even more into your, you know, in your conscious. And so, you know, like it's this one, they're very, very into the romance novel, into these books, to the point where I was like, wow. I mean, it's really in their psyche. I couldn't believe it. And also, you know, there were so many women, you know, so many. I mean, worldwide, you have so many women, you know, they're not happy with their relationship. They're not happy with their life. And, you know, and they read the book. They want to escape for their reality. And that's their escape. And it's a very, you know, healthy escape because they don't hurt anybody, you know, when you read the book.
But, okay, so with that in mind, Andrea, I asked the president of the Fabio Fan Club, who you've all heard about, Donna Mae White, I asked her the same question, like, what did Fabio mean to her? And she had a great answer.
He's a gentleman. He's gorgeous. If you see a mass of women and him in the middle, and everybody just likes that. They want to touch his hands. They want to get his autograph. They want to take a picture with him. And he's very patient, and he's very good to his fans. And he tells people, when asked about that, they're the ones that made me. So he feels indebted to all of his fans, and he's very, very courteous. So.
But I always dream of learning her secrets.
Okay, so Fabio meant, you know, so much to Donna Mae.
She really surprised you with so much of what she had to say of what he meant to her.
Well, what Fabio meant to Donna Mae's children is also worth hearing, because they were not kind of crazy about mom following Fabio all over the country, buying him for $16,000 at a bachelor auction in Little Rock, Arkansas. And so you have to hear what Donna Mae says about what her kids thought about her Fabio obsession.
It set my kids off. Oh my God. They were just did not want me going anywhere near him. So, of course, I had to do that. They saw me as being led astray. And my money is supposed to be spent for things for them. And I said, no, I'm going to spend it for me.
She's feisty, that's honest.
She's pretty feisty.
You don't get to be the president of the Fabio fan club by being a wimp.
She's 80 years old.
Gotta elbow some other gals out of the way.
Well, she did, in fact. She's 80 years old and is like sharp as a tack.
Wow. So is Fabio close with Donna Mae?
Not close. They do remain in touch. Mm-hmm. They do communicate regularly.
Did she tell you about the date?
Yes.
For $16,000, I don't care if the kids were getting it. I hope that she got some ass out of it. However, whatever that looks like to her, I hope ass was given.
There was no intimacy. Oh. I asked her, this is going to sound inappropriate, especially when you consider that she's 80 years old. But I was like, Donna Mae, well, I gotcha. Which of Fabio's body parts is your favorite?
Jeez. And what she
said. I've actually never seen your jaw drop. That was funny. She said his right arm.
I'm so uncomfortable. I know there's probably a wholesome reason why.
There actually is.
But I'm so uncomfortable.
Because when Fabio embraces her, she's 5'4", mm-hmm. he's 6'3". Just don't ask me why I know how tall Donna Mae is. But she snuggles right in there, mm-hmm, right under in. The right arm. And so her favorite Fabio body part mm-hmm. is his right arm.
Sure. What's your favorite Fabio body part?
I think the bicep. I'm a biceps kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also,
no one be
more about gel coat
when the fourth round.
Don't you call in the?
Don't touch that dial. That's right. We're still calling it a dial here because it's Emmy season on the Awardist. With the dazzling Oscar season behind us, we are now turning our attention to smaller screens to track which shows are headed to the podium and which shows stopped us in our tracks. Join me, Jared Hall, Entertainment Weekly's executive editor, as well as EW's TV-obsessed staffers, every Thursday starting April 4th, as we share our opinionated hot takes and insight into the Emmys race. The Awardist will get behind the scenes with the creators and stars themselves during in-depth, can't-miss interviews. Follow the long road to the Emmys with the Awardist podcast, Thursday starting April 4th, on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to check out more Emmys coverage at EW.com/Awardist.
You do recall from the interview that we reread him the part in the 1993 article where his former voice coach compliments his large vocal instrument. And he says,
okay, that's,
well, we'll let you hear.
Yeah, yeah.
People at the time spoke to your vocal coach mm-hmm. who her quote was, you have a large Italian instrument. Like, I'm, you know, just not going to say anything. But
I never had any complaint.
I don't imagine you have.
And we're just going to close this loop. This is also at the awkward part of our conversation where we talk about the 1993 article where the subject of circumcision comes up. And just stay with us, folks. Here's what Fabio has to say.
I can't believe that we say in this magazine that you're uncircumcised.
So what? That's how God created you. Everybody was born that way.
Okay, how many times did we bring this up? I'm embarrassed.
I mean, we had to talk to him about the article, right? Like, that was part of the reason why we were interviewing him. He was a 90s icon. He was on the cover of People. We had to say,
oh my God,
that article mentions that he was uncircumcised. And once again, the two of us losing it. Fabio barely blinks. Then we had a whole list of like must asks, right? Like, these were the hard hitting Fabio questions that if we had left this interview without asking, we would have failed. So let's just like go down the list and
do it.
Number one, obviously, his hair. Specifically, would he ever cut it?
And is it all his? We got the answers.
You still got long hair. Have you ever thought about cutting your hair? People are obsessed with your hair. You know this.
Yeah. But yeah, why not? I actually model with my hair long and my hair short.
Well, I remember like the Gap ads. You had short hair.
Yes.
But then we all know you, you know, from like romance covers, right? And from I Can't Believe It's Not Butter and all that stuff. You've had the long hair. So there's two questions. One, was your hair at one time insured? You know, like a dancer's legs. Was your hair insured?
No, I never insured my body. I never insured.
Mm-hmm. You never know, the hair. It's still kind of long. I mean, is this it? You're never going to cut it again?
Oh no, maybe I'll cut it.
You should let us film it when you do that.
Okay. Okay. You'll be the first person.
We'll do a video with your hair.
And Andrew, it's worth noting, we did ask him Botox, fillers, what's the deal? You know, like, how does he stay? Because, I mean, let's be honest. Fabio looks fantastic. He's 62. So here's what he has to say about, what do we call it? Hollywood type upkeep?
Yeah.
Let's just ask, like, have you had plastic surgery?
No, none.
Like, Botox, fillers?
None, never.
No Botox, no nope. fillers, nothing? Nope. The hair is all yours?
Yes.
It's all Fabio?
Yes. It's so, you know.
It's all Fabio.
Yeah.
Yep.
And of course, he credits his youthful appearance to sleeping in what else but a hyperbaric chamber.
The hyperbaric chamber is I'm telling you, it's been around now for a while, but you know, recently, you know.
If you don't know what that is, this is not cryogenic chamber. This is hyperbaric.
We should also mention that Eric Esquire of Marina Del Rey basically said he would murder us in our sleep if we didn't mention the hyperbaric chamber. So Eric, this one's for you.
They find out. It's amazing. If you do really like every day, like an hour and a half, you can also almost rehearse your aging process.
And you're not, to be clear, you're not selling it. You're not endorsing it. Yeah.
There's so much you can read and so much information. So it's great to regenerate your hair, your skin. I mean, it's everything. You sleep really, really, really deep.
Okay, Andrea, I feel like there's a few other things that we have to get to. So first of all, I can't believe it's not butter. Let's talk about that butter money.
Butter money, honey. It just occurred to me as we got to know our new best friend, Fabio, that he has a ton of freaking money, right? He has, he said 31 cars now, and they're not like
Lamborghinis, Maseratis, yeah. Ferraris, Porsches.
Exactly. Yep. He said he has 345 motorcycles. Mm-hmm. He sleeps in a freaking hyperbaric chamber. I mean, those things aren't cheap, right? You can't just order one on Amazon.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can.
So, of course, being as discreet as possible, we just simply ask him, how much money did you make from I Can't Believe It's Not Butter?
Oh, millions?
Millions.
He's got butter money.
Millions off I Can't Believe It's Not Butter.
Oh, it was
the king of butter substitutes. You know,
it was like, went out for like 24 years.
It did go on forever.
Yeah.
How many did you shoot in the end?
Oh my God, so many.
So when we were talking to him about the I Can't Believe It's Not Butter money,
I think I know where you're going to go
right
now.
We know exactly where
it's so crazy.
It was like one of those moments, is this happening? Did this happen? Reading the transcript, it happened. Basically, Fabio revealed that it was brought to his attention that some people may be using the condiment, let's just say, outside of the kitchen.
Oh my God. It's so crazy. Just let Fabio tell you.
Wait, I'll tell you a funny story. So one day I'm on Oprah, you know?
Oh, I've heard of her.
Yeah. It's, you know, she make a couple dollars. You know,
yeah, there. Really. Yeah.
So, you know, Oprah, she's great. You know, she's a very sweet, very intelligent, great woman. And she didn't know. I'm from Europe. You talk about sex, I'm very comfortable. You put me at home.
What did she ask you?
What she said, she set herself up without knowing. So she said, Fabio, come on. You know, I was like, I can't believe it's not butter. You're selling like crazy. Don't tell me then everybody uses I can't believe it's not butter just in the kitchen.
What?
Oprah.
Yes.
Ooh, excuse me, ma'am.
So I go like, well, Oprah, I don't know in what other place in the house they use I can't believe it's not butter, but I know then actually, since I can't believe it's so used everywhere, the sales of Vaseline dropped.
Nice one.
Wait, I just have to stop for a second. Are you saying that Oprah asked you if I can't believe it's not butter can be used as a personal lubricant?
Yeah. So what she was saying, she was implying then to go like, oh, you know, come on, people, you think couple. People.
Okay, y'all, it's worth noting, like, you know, we could not find that clip of Oprah saying that.
Yeah, but that's totally on brand for Oprah. You know her.
I mean, I don't, but apparently
finally,
you do.
Right. Finally, the show, it's over. I go in a green room, right? And, you know, my manager is like green. It's the same color of the green room, right? And, he goes, Fabio, my guy, you know, you can't mention any sexual joke about the. You say, you have to talk to a head of Unilever. They want to talk to you. Okay, so I'm gonna. Okay, give me the phone. I'm gonna get a ear full right now, right? Okay, so hello. Oh my God, Fabio, I can't believe you said that. Da, 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 da. We own Vaseline. So they were not even much concerned about me.
They're worried about the Vaseline part.
Exactly. That doing a joke that I can't believe it's not butter was used as a lubricant. They was concerned because they use Vaseline.
I mean,
they own Vaseline.
Like, my head is like totally exploding.
It's also worth mentioning. I mean, the guy was always about the money and like always doing the math. And so he really early on, he found out what he was worth. And this is very interesting because he said that at one point he was making more than Cindy Crawford.
The Versace campaign was extremely successful at that time because it was the biggest contract a model, not just a male model, a model ever got. So I got a contract even bigger than Cindy Crawford and the rest of the female model.
And then he kind of has some beef with the late Gianni Versace. And like, this is just like what Fabio alleges. And here's what he has to say.
You know, unfortunately, Versace wasn't, you know, a very honest man. God bless his soul. But the truth is the truth. He wasn't a very honest person.
He was not an honest person.
An honest person. Yeah.
Wow.
So let's just get right to the roller coaster.
Right. So I didn't want to ask him about this because I'll ask about his love life. I'll ask about his penis. I'll ask about the money. But I didn't know if the roller coaster incident was still a sensitive subject because it really made him the butt of a lot of jokes, even though he was kind of injured. And you asked. Thank goodness.
That's sweet. So I've got to ask you, like a video went around a couple of days ago where a young girl was on an amusement park ride and she got hit in the face with a bird. This happened to you, but actually it's pretty serious.
That was a miracle. That was a miracle. What happened? The goose hit the video camera. The video camera shattered. A piece of metal.
Oh.
Slept, I'm telling you, at 85 miles an hour. So the roller coaster goes down at 80 miles an hour, 80, 85 miles an hour, over a pond and back up and then upside down, right? So when it came down and went over the pond, like 80, 85 miles an hour. So what happened is go over the pond. There was a bunch of geese there. I'm talking about hundreds. And one got sucked in. I saw this very up close. The geese hit the video camera. The video camera shattered.
Whoa.
I was with reflex fast enough to turn my head and I saw totally the metal passing by and cut the bridge of my nose.
The blood was from the part of the camera.
The camera.
The injury because of the camera.
Thank God I turned and it really was a miracle. But because then it was all the rest of the ride after I was cut, you know, upside down, of course, the blood rushed to your head, right? So when I came off and going 80 miles an hour, my face was bloody. So they took me to the hospital. And they thought, oh my God, you know, it's like, you know, broken nose and this and that. They thought, because of all the blood. My nose wasn't broken. You know how much, how big was the cut? One stitch.
Oh my gosh.
But all that blood and the drama of it. Well,
so they clean me up. They give me one stitch. It was it. Now, let me tell you, during that time, every single law firm in America, three or four of the big law firm, they come up to me and say, Fabio, that's going to be the first easy $4 or $5 million in your life. I said, no.
I just assumed that you had settled with
them. Yeah.
No, no. I said, no, it's principle. I'll take full responsibility. You know, I did my job. Okay. This will happen. I take full responsibility. I'm not going to suit them.
What was your responsibility? I mean, you were just strapped into a ride.
I know. But, you know, it's like I took the job. I signed that contract.
Got it.
And I tell you, you know, the camera and, you know, my manager at that time, he said, oh, you know, let's see the video footage. Mm-hmm. Well, the camera is never to be fine. The tape disappeared.
It did?
It disappeared. Oh. Never was fine.
Well, that's one for the detectives.
So breaking news, 30 years later, it's what we specialize in.
You know, I think there's a conspiracy, Jason. The fact that the tape is still missing
tells
me there's more to this story, that maybe that goose was planted. Maybe there was a rival hunk trying to take Fabio down and ruin his looks. But in the end, he's Fabio. All he needed was one stitch.
Andrew, one of the most endearing things about Fabio, I have to say, is that Fabio knew people were making fun of him. Fabio seemed to be very in on the joke. Fabio gets it, right? And I just really enjoyed that part about him. Because, like, look, we asked him. We're like, you knew people were making fun of you, right? And this is what he had to say.
Of course. But who cares? Yeah. Nobody's perfect. You know, who cares?
Was there ever, though, anyone who really was a jerk to you? Like,
no, no. I've been, you know, I've been very frustrated. Also because, you know, it takes two to tango. Takes two to tango. When a lot of, I understand a lot of people in the media, they're a jerk to other people in the media and so on. Because, you know, a lot of people in the media, they have big egos and they think they're God gifted to the world. And to me, there is only one God and all the rest are human. So, and I told you, take two to tango. So, you know, when you treat everybody with respect and everybody at your level, or you elevate people, you do not downgrade people. Okay? Everybody's going to respect you.
So you can still take a butter joke?
Of course.
No regrets?
But then also kind of like, you know, someone who is super masculine and studly in the 90s, a lot of this current day, you know, modern day woke culture is a little baffling for him. We just have to be fair, right? So he kind of doesn't understand some of the cancel culture and comedians have to watch what they say today.
Like, the problem is with, our society. You know, today we have a very confused society. You know, nobody knows anymore where they are. Nobody can make jokes anymore. You know, it's like, oh, you know, you make this joke, you insult these people. You make this other joke. It's like, listen, our jokes. You can't take life seriously. The last thing you want to do, you'll be a miserable bastard if you take your life seriously. Let's have some fun. Let's laugh. You know, I feel sorry sometimes for all this, you know, comedian. Now they have to, like, you know, be so politically correct. There's nothing in life is politically correct. Life is true and there is not true. It sometimes can be very harsh, sometimes can be beautiful. But you know, life is truth. Now these people, they even have to be, they worry how they talk. It's like, listen, it's a comedian. It's you know, it's like, let's have some fun. Don't get so irritated. Don't get so sensitive.
Mm. Fabio definitely wasn't meant for a 2021 world. He's living a simpler life now, and he doesn't want to be caught up in, you know, the difficulties of the modern world, everything from technology. You know, Fabio's not on social media because Fabio likes to live life.
I want to live life. I don't want to live life through a computer, okay? Because one day, all this generation, they're going to go, what happened to my life? Well, you're too busy on a computer. When, you know, you are always in front of a computer and you do Instagram and this and that, and it's like, who cares what you eat? Who cares the, you know, please,
you know,
there's,
like, oh, there's a billion
people. You know, Fabio doesn't take money. Fabio makes money.
That's a Fabioism.
I know, I'm just like turning them out myself now. Okay, so speaking of, here is a list of things that Fabio has turned down over the years.
I hate reality shows. So
reality
they
shows.
Offer me every single reality show you can possibly imagine multiple times.
Which reality shows have they offered you?
Multiple times.
like I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Celebrity Big Brother.
No. Like all those plus, you know, Dancing with the Stars many times, multiple times. Not only American, I mean, the American version of, I think, two or three times I turned them down. Then the English version.
Of Dancing with the Stars. That's
I turned them down. Then the Australian. Turn them down.
Why did you
turn then
down
the Italian? This? They go like, you come and you can be the host. I'm like, I turned down the American version, the English version, the Australian version. What's
he casually dropped that Disney had wanted him to play Tarzan in the 90s?
Disney wanted me to be Tarzan. And you
what?
Know, yeah, yep. I turned them down. As a matter of fact, three times they asked me and I was like, no, no. And you go like, do you know in history, nobody ever turned down? For you 3 years, they begged me.
But the Viagra campaign was probably the one that really got me the most.
When this was back, late 90, they offered me, I think, $2 or $3 million to the Viagra campaign to advertise to the young generation, mm-hmm. to the young people.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That, you know, I turn it down because I go like, no, I'm not going to listen. When you're young, you don't need Viagra. Okay. I'm not going to tell a bunch of people. Number one, I don't take it. Okay? That's why I never wanted to advertise. You know, Pepsi came to me.
You definitely don't drink soda.
Right.
So Pepsi
went
Pepsi.
To me right after they dropped Michael Jackson. I was the celebrity they choose to go and do the campaign. I go like, no, I don't.
You're like, sugar makes me nauseous.
I don't drink Pepsi. You know, no, sorry. Then Coca-Cola find out. They thought, oh, maybe they didn't offer enough money, right? But Pepsi, they offer me a lot of money. Then Diet Coke came along. I mean, Coke came along and they want me to do the Diet Coke. And I turned it down.
Was your manager like, please drink Diet Coke? And you were like, absolutely not.
No, no, I didn't know.
And then Andrea, he also stays away from sweets.
This actually came out in a really odd way because I was trying to find out again for the millionth time what celebrities Fabio dated. So I was asking like, you know, who were you friends with back then? I'm sure you hung out with other celebrities and maybe dated some of them. And he ignored me and started talking about how once Whoopi Goldberg threw him this star-studded birthday party and put his face on a cake.
Oh my God. Like I want to hear Fabio like tell that story right now.
One time I remember my parents came to see me and for my birthday. And all of a sudden, I had no idea. Whoopi Goldberg threw the most amazing party for me, right? And I have no idea. And all of a sudden, you know, all my friends, they take me around and stuff like that. And then they go like, oh, and we're going to go to, you know, it's a secret. It's a, you know, just go with the day, right? And then they're going to go, oh, we go to this restaurant tonight. And, you know, we have a bunch of all your friends and all the close people to you. And then that night, instead to go to the restaurant, they took me to Whoopi Goldberg's house. And she invite every single celebrity you can possibly imagine.
Who? I want to know.
Oh, everybody was there. Everybody. I can't even like, I mean, it's everybody was there. Everybody. I couldn't believe it. My father walked in and was like, every single celebrity, you know, they were super nice. I mean, they come up and, you know, we talk and they wish me happy birthday. I mean, we spent the entire night. It was unbelievable. And, you know, and Whoopi was so sweet and everything. And she made even a huge cake with my image. I mean,
oh my God.
And I don't even eat cakes. I don't even eat sweets.
Still? You won't let yourself have, you
know? No. I never liked it. Since I was a kid. I never liked
sweets. Because you don't drink, you don't smoke, no drugs. Yeah. Like you're pretty much,
it was always
keep it clean.
Yeah, but it was never hard for me. Because I was like that since I was 2 years old.
Yeah. You know, when you think in that story that the fact that Whoopi Goldberg throwing him a birthday party and putting his face on a cake is like the fun part. But no, the fun part for us was finding out that since he's a child, Fabio hates cake, everyone. Headline news, Fabio hates cake.
I know. I was almost going to stop him and be like, Fabio, tell us when the trauma started.
Fabio may hate cake, but you know who he loves?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Us, Jason.
Oh my God!
Oh, it's. I'm telling you, guy, you give me one of the best interviews.
Oh, thank you.
In my life.
Let me give you the number of our boss.
No, I'm telling you because you know
wondered what we've been doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
They're like we're paying for Andrea to fly where
through so many different subjects. When actually, you know, it's like you have a reporter. They always have the agenda. They always have the question, and it's like, but.
We truthfully didn't know.
Right. You actually, yeah, you did your work, you did your job, but you know what? Also, you know, it was more like a conversation. Yeah.
Well, we
than
really
an
wanted
interview,
to get to know you.
Fabio did like leave us with not only a hug, not only selfies, not only carrying you like Sherry Shepherd wants to be carried, which is kind of like a baby.
Check my Instagram.
But I was so jealous. Remember, he wouldn't pick me up? Anyway, no resentments. But he did give us an awesome compliment.
Now, I would say that we were fishing for it, like just a little bit. Basically, we kept thanking him profusely and telling him how amazing this was and what a dream come true. I didn't share that it wasn't my dream until like 3 weeks prior. It was like a new dream. He was very flattered that I flew across the country just to interview him, which sounded as weird coming out of my mouth as I'm sure it did going into his ears, but whatever. It was surprisingly amazing though, wasn't it, Jason? Was it everything you hoped for?
It was, because it was surreal. Like, Fabio was just as interesting and random and weird and funny and like larger than life. He was like, you know, all of the things I love about the 90s, which I like the weird 90s. I like the left of center 90s. I like the rando 90s. Fabio completely delivered.
Well, much like Fabio's ride on that roller coaster, this was both exhilarating, surprising, and painful at times.
But ultimately redeeming, because it made you really think about how short life is.
Yeah, I feel weirdly inspired. Listen, Jason, I don't know how closely you were paying attention to this interview, but Fabio bestowed a world of wisdom onto us in the form of several inspirational quotes, and we would be remiss if we did not learn from them and share them. So let's go back, let's say our favorites so that we can live our best Fabio lives too. Are you ready?
Let's do it. You want to start?
Well, yeah, because I have them all pulled up here in a doc because they're amazing. And I refer to them when times get tough.
All right, hit me.
When you keep your life simple, life can be beautiful.
I see that and I give you, I love beautiful cars.
Beautiful cars.
And people.
If you have infinite faith and infinite belief in God,
your life will turn into a miracle.
Your life will turn into a miracle.
I have only one idol.
One idol.
God.
God.
I raise you with, there's only one God. And when you put yourself on a pedestal, eventually
you're going to come down.
You're going to come down.
I hear that. And I give you, you can never put two roosters in the same place.
Because, you know, they fight.
Yes. And that one was in direct reference to his father, but I think it applies to all areas of all of our lives.
Yeah. You can use it. I use it all the time.
Two roosters just doesn't work. You want to live life
moment by moment.
Moment by moment.
I want to capture the essence of the beautiful life.
Of the beautiful life.
Even when times are hard.
And finally, the world is beautiful.
The world is beautiful because of uniqueness.
And here's my very last one.
You're like, no.
No, I have to, I don't.
We could do this all day, by the way.
I live real life. I love life.
I love life.
I love real life.
I love real life.
Wow. Mm. Wow. I'm just going to let that one sit for a minute.
Is it possible that we interviewed Fabio and we're done?
We'll never be done, Jason.
It's kind of like the 90s. Just like the 90s. We'll never be done. So, Andrea, we've now done 12 episodes of People in the 90s, and I can say, in all sincerity, I am so grateful that you've been on this journey with me, and we've had a whole lot of fun, and I want to ask you, very seriously, what have you learned?
I have learned that no matter how prepared you think you are for an interview, do more. And I think you know exactly why I'm saying this, Jason.
Are we talking about Sherry Shepherd?
Yes, we're talking about Sherry Shepherd. I mean, I read every article. I watched so much stand-up. I listened to so many podcasts. And still, I asked her if it was a dream of hers to have a sitcom with her name on it. And she said, I had one. And I poked myself in the eye.
I almost swallowed my tongue when that happened. Anyway, but Sherry's a good sport and she's a professional. Oh my God, she's a totally professional.
Yeah, you know who's not? Me. No, it was, she was great. And listen, that happens. But I, oh my God, I learned so much. I learned, you know, there's always new stories to uncover about that time. Like, we're never going to get sick of talking about it. What about you?
I have to say, there's these moments of the show that really kind of knock you back and people that were able to answer that question, you know, why can't we get past the 90s, right? We asked all of our guests, you know, why is it that we're still so obsessed with the 90s? And look, I'm biased. I love Jamie Lee Curtis, but she had this really thoughtful and nuanced answer. She said, nostalgia is comfortable because being present is uncomfortable, right? You know, because we are sitting here celebrating nostalgia and it is fun and it is poppy and it is funny and all that stuff. But it really made me think about our podcast in a more meaningful way. It made me kind of dig a little deeper into my feelings. I just look at the screen and you're just blinking.
No, it's just now I want to dig a little deeper into my own feelings and I want something meaningful.
Well, use your feeling words. Use your feeling words.
I feel like this podcast has reminded me to always connect with my inner child and never to lose that sense of wonder and curiosity. I learned from you that if the question presents itself, ask. And specifically when you say to Fabio, quote, well, now we have to ask you, can it be used as a lubricant? It, of course, being, I can't believe it's not butter. And we might never know if that's what he meant if you didn't ask.
I'm glad I gave you something. We'd be totally remiss, Andrea, if we didn't thank two very important people. And that is producer Chris Jacobs and executive producer Kim Ritberg.
I don't know them. Who are they? Our dream team.
I don't know her.
Our dream team. We would be on permanent mute if it wasn't for them.
We have alternately driven crazy / pissed off / wrecked their personal lives and perhaps marriages. But the show is better and elevated for it. And then last but not least, the man in charge of everything, David Fluenbaum, who he and I, like, you know, look, I sent him this crazy email about this idea and he really, like, you know, held our hands throughout this entire process. So shout out to David Fluenbaum. People in the 90s is hosted by me, Jason Sheeler, and Andrea Laventhal. It's produced by Jason Sheeler and Chris Jacobs, executive produced by Kim Ritberg and David Fluenbaum, edited by Chris Jacobs, mastered by Erica Wong, and with production support by Aliza Sessler at People, Persia Verlin, Matt Sav, and Rachel King at Pod People.
I'm Andrea Laventhal. Thank you for listening.
And I'm Jason Sheeler.